Funding for this edition of Think Tank with Steve Adubato has been provided by
Holy Name. This place is different. The Turrell Fund, supporting Reimagine Childcare.
PNC, Grow Up Great. The New Jersey Education Association.
Berklee College, celebrating more than 90 years of preparing students for lifelong careers.
PSE&G, committed to providing safe, reliable energy now and in the future.
NJ Best, New Jersey's 529 College Savings Plan. Community Food Bank of New Jersey.
And by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. Promotional support provided by
NJ Biz, providing business news for New Jersey for more than 30 years, online, in print, and in person.
And by
New Jersey Globe.
Hi, I'm Steve Adubato. It's a very important program that talks about the importance of making a difference, the importance of making a difference, particularly when it comes to educational inequities. We bring forward three very special people, all of whom are winners of what is called the Russell Berry Making a Difference Award. For 25 years, that event has been going on, a Making a Difference Award ceremony. I've been honored to host it for all of those years. And it's been virtual in the past, and as we move into 2022, we hope we're going to be together this year. So I want to acknowledge our three Russ Berry Making a Difference Award winners. First, Paul Winslow, who is the president and co-founder of Students to Science. Sharon Miller is the founder of Sharon Miller's Academy for the Performing Arts. And Larry Abrams is an English teacher at Lindenwold High School and the executive director and founder of Book Smiles. I want to thank all of you for joining us. All of you were, in fact, part of the 25th anniversary Russ Berry Awards for Making a Difference. It was virtual this last time. Again, we hope that moving forward, it will be in person. You're going to see the Russ Berry website to make a nomination of someone you believe is making a difference, an unsung hero, as Russ used to say, someone who is an extraordinary person, doing important things. Let me jump right into this. I want to give everyone 30 seconds to describe your organization. Sharon, if you could, tell everyone, because I know your dance studio here in Montclair, our daughter was a part of it growing up. Tell everyone what it is and why it matters.
Sharon Miller's Academy for the Performing Arts is a not-for-profit, tax-exempt, 501c3 arts education organization. We have dedicated our mission to the developmental inclusive training of young people and seniors and adults in dance and related theater arts. We recognize the important value this can have in a person's life.
Absolutely. And Larry, go ahead, please.
Hey, my name is Larry Abrams. I am the executive director of Book Smiles. We are the largest provider of new and gently used children's books in the Philadelphia, New Jersey area. I started this thing out of my classroom and out of my garage, simply collecting books, diverting them from the big box thrift stores, putting them in the hands of teachers, putting them in the hands of children who live in underserved areas, low-income areas. We believe that every child should own a library of their own, regardless of their zip code. It's not fair that some kids have hundreds of books and other kids don't have a single book. We're working to close that equity gap. Every child needs to, should have books of their own.
Well said. And we're talking to three winners of the Russ Berry Making a Difference Award. Take a look at the website again as you listen to Paul describe Students to Science, the significance of making a difference in the community. Nominate someone who you believe is making a difference. Paul, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I'm Paul Winslow, the founder, co-founder of Students to Science. Students to Science is a New Jersey-based non-for-profit organization with a mission to inspire, motivate, and educate middle elementary, middle, and high school students to pursue careers in science, technology, engineering, and math. We focus on students in economically disadvantaged areas. More than 80% of our students come from those communities. And our hope is to foster a diverse, equitable, and inclusive workforce.
Well said. Sharon, let me ask you something. STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math, talked about a lot. You've talked about the importance of adding an A to that to make it STEAM, and that A stands for the arts. Talk about the arts and how it's connected to the terrible inequities that children suffer from, largely because of their zip code. Please, Sharon.
Unfortunately, arts are the first thing to be cut from any kind of public school in particular curriculum. The arts stem from, I believe, your own personal passion. It's either to draw, to dance, to sing, to play an instrument, but it is so important because what I do, which is dance primarily, nothing existed before that body moved through space. There wasn't a moment of choreography that happened before that body moved itself through space and took control of the thinking, control of the body, control of the environment, becoming aware of where your body is in space, personal space, general space. This creates self-esteem, it creates self-discipline, and it stimulates the mind to create. And it's creating something that wasn't there before. I just believe this is a valuable part of a child's education. That's my...
I'm sorry, Sharon, for interrupting. Let me just add this.
That's my opinion.
Well, no, it's your opinion, but it's also my experience with my wife, Jennifer, to see our daughter, what dance has done for her self-esteem. And it's not about our daughter. It's about any boy or girl who's involved in the arts. And I just see it in our daughter, the level of self-confidence, self-esteem. Absolutely. It's off the charts, and it should not be based on zip code, geography, economic ability. It's just wrong on every level. And so let me ask you, when it comes to books, Larry, you're a teacher in a high school. You moved from that to create Book Smiles. The importance of books to impacting a child's mind, sense of self, and what the opportunities are in the world. Talk about it, please, Larry.
Well, I am still teaching. I teach by day and do Book Smiles on weekends and in the evening.
I apologize for that.
You're doing both. Sometimes I think to myself, what am I doing? You know, I could, but I have two deep passions and things that I love to do. But here's where this really comes from. I once had a student, a mom, who had a baby girl of her own at home. And I asked her once, what are you reading to your child? Just, you know, small talk. And when she responded that she wasn't reading to her child, I asked her why. Well, the baby is too young to understand, she replied. No, she's not too young. And then she looked at me and said, Mr. Abrams, that's nice that you do it, you know, with your kids. We don't do that in my culture. And my heart dropped. And it was that student who activated me to do something. Now, look, I teach in an underserved area. I go home to Cherry Hill. I have friends who have books. I put a call out on social media. Hey, I'm collecting books. And what do you know? 1,000 books poured in. But what was really beautiful are those baby board books. Because in too many districts, kids come to kindergarten having never touched a book. And the teachers then have to explain to them the geography of a book. And we at Book Smiles are putting an end to that. 700,000 books in, we have a long way to go. But right. This is a fixable problem.
To see more Think Tank with Steve Adubato programs and to listen to Think Tank with Steve Adubato, the podcast, visit us online at steveadubato.org. If you would like to express an opinion, email us at info@caucusnj.org. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Steve Adubato, PhD. And follow us on Twitter at Steve Adubato.
By the way, I want to be clear that when we talk about the Making a Difference Award, each one of our guests today are winners of awards. There's a cash award. I want to be very upfront about that as we put the website up. There's a cash award to help that not-for-profit organization continue to make a difference. Paul, let me ask you something. When we talk about science, students to science, real quickly, who are your partners and how are those partners helping students to science make a difference with the underserved, the children in underserved communities you work with, please?
You know, when we talk about students to science, a lot of times we refer to it as a convener, okay, where we're convening the union or the, you know, act as a liaison between the private and the public sector. When you talk about science and you talk about the careers in science, the careers we're going to talk about today are not the careers that a kid that starts with us in the fifth grade will even pursue probably, you know, 8-10 years from now, because the science is changing so quickly. Okay, so it's very important for us to, you know, partner with the corporations, the end person, the hiring, you know, organization, because they're the ones that are going to keep us abreast of what their needs are. Okay, and then, you know, we have to talk to the schools. I mean, you're talking about, you know, to teachers that, you know, in elementary school have very little science experience, never mind, you know, knowing what the future is going to hold for their students. So how could they possibly inspire them, coach them, educate them on potential careers 10 years down the road? And then the third party that we need is we need the administrators, we need the school boards, we need the local municipalities to support. So by bringing all these parties together, oh, and I should mention also higher ed partners, because we can work really hard to get our kids from the fifth grade to the 12th grade is where we focus, but we need to matriculate those kids in a very meaningful, successful way so they get to post-secondary schools and opportunities, whether it be certificate programs, they can be successful there. So we actually convene all of those parties to make this a successful venture.
Sharon, let me come back to you. I'm curious about something. The impact on not-for-profits, the impact of raising money, conducting a business, paying your bills, paying your people, paying their health insurance, paying your rent, paying. Go ahead.
I've got to say that the private sector, in terms of foundations, really stepped up to the plate. The government stepped up to the plate with the PPP loans. Other than that, I don't even know what we would have done. I mean, we probably would have closed. There were several things that were going on. The fact that we were in a pandemic, and it was very fear-provoking for parents, particularly. Who wants to send their child into a situation that could be damaging to them, to their health? It was mandated by the government that we close down for a certain amount of time. But even then, we weren't making any money because we weren't teaching any classes. So public schools, which is where we had many residencies, were closed in terms of in-person training. And it was heart-wrenching to see that there were so many children. We were in Patterson and Newark. So many children were being forced to study on a phone, trying to find a hotspot at a McDonald's. And of course, somehow there were dance teachers that were trying to teach dance. We were among them. And How we got through it is by the grace of God. That's all I can say.
Let me ask this, because I'm curious about this. There's a cash grant, as I said before. And again, corporate and foundation support allows us to do what we do in public broadcasting and for not-for-profit independent production companies like ours. But Larry, for you, the Rustberry grant, winning that grant, that award, what did it mean?
Well, the pandemic was actually very, very good for us because books started pouring in and because libraries weren't taking them, and we were. And we established a relationship with the Food Bank of South Jersey, and we currently give 6,000 to 10,000 books per month to the Food Bank of South Jersey. And when they came by, I saw how they have these trucks with lift gates. And I said to myself, I want one of those. Board members supported me. And what do you know? We needed $35,000 to purchase a box truck to take books all over the state and to also collect books when they come in, when people do these enormous drives. And so the Rustberry grant enabled us to purchase, help really defray the cost of this box truck. And it's so cool. And we're getting it wrapped this week, and it's going to be amazing when it's out.
To see more Think Tank with Steve Adubato programs and to listen to Think Tank with Steve Adubato, the podcast, visit us online at steveadubato.org. If you would like to express an opinion, email us at info@caucusnj.org. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Steve Adubato PhD and follow us on Twitter at Steve Adubato.
By the way, do you know, I'm curious about this. Do you know, Larry, who nominated you?
I think one of our board members did. I'm pretty sure.
Sharon, do you know?
I think it was Sam Huber. I'm not
Paul,
sure.
Do you know?
I do. It was our chairman of the board, Stan Nelson, that nominated me. But I didn't know until after I got the award.
Wait, hold on. You did... And it's so interesting. People often don't know exactly until later. And it's very interesting. The committee, they look through a whole range, hundreds of these nominations. And the bar, the standard is very high. So you didn't find out until you won the award, Paul?
Meredith was the first person to tell me that I was even nominated. I got an email from Meredith congratulating me on being a finalist. That's how I found out.
That's great. And by the way, are you still continuing to work with the foundation?
We are. We've been very fortunate to have a separate grant that was sponsored by the foundation to work with the non-for-profit center with LaSalle University. So they've come in and they're evaluated. It's quite extensive. It's about a 9-month engagement where they're evaluating our organization in an effort to help us strengthen it and improve upon it. They've done a board boot camp, which has been instrumental in helping us diversify our board. We're now a gender neutral board. We are fully representative of the population we serve. Redone our governance documents, bylaws, and things like that. And then they're going to follow up with actual helping us to execute some of their findings and recommendations, as well as work with our staff and do peer group support.
Yeah. You know what's so interesting? Got about a minute left. It's so interesting to me that given our relationship with the Rustberry Foundation over 2 decades plus, we've gotten to meet a whole range of other not-for-profit leaders who do all different kinds of things. And one of the things that I sense, Larry, is it brings people together and makes connections. Am I overstating that?
Oh, without question. Book Smiles is all about having hundreds of teachers, not all at once, but we've had nearly 1,000 teachers from all over the state converge on the Book Smiles Book Bank in Cherry Hill. And it's a beautiful thing. We provide books for brand new teachers. We believe that the teachers right out of the chute shouldn't be paying a fortune. You know, we teachers do not get paid a lot, as everybody knows. So we're able to connect a lot of teachers with books, and then teachers give these books to their precious children.
You know, by the way, as people go on the website, the Raspberry website, you're going to see the past winners as well for this Making a Difference Award. And you're going to be, it'll be very interesting for you to identify those different not-for-profits in a whole range of different areas that are working every day to make a difference. There's a specific deadline that I'll tell you there on the website. But the reason we wanted to air this program early in 2022 is to allow people to recognize, nominate leaders, people, professionals, caring individuals who make a difference every day, either as individuals or as part of a not-for-profit. So Paul, Sharon, Larry, congratulations on winning the Raspberry Making a Difference Award the last time around, the 25th annual. And we look forward to seeing you in the future in person to recognize the new group of people that are recognized. Thank you all so much for making a difference.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You got it. I'm Steve Adubato. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
To see more Think Tank with Steve Adubato programs and to listen to Think Tank with Steve Adubato, the podcast, visit us online at steveadubato.org. If you would like to express an opinion, email us at info@caucusnj.org. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Steve Adubato, PhD. And follow us on Twitter at Steve Adubato.
We are honored to be joined by Kim Gaddy, founder and director of the South Ward, that's in Newark, South Ward Environmental Alliance, and a Raspberry Making a Difference awardee. So good to have you, Kim.
Thank you for having me, Steve.
For those who don't know, tell everyone exactly what the Environmental Alliance is and what you're fighting for and against.
Sure. The South Ward Environmental Alliance is an organization consisting of residents and community-based organizations whose mission is to ensure that the voices of residents are heard and they are active participants in the decision-making within their neighborhood and their communities. So for example, the South Ward is the backyard of the port and the airport. Thousands of trucks come in our port each and every day, and the health impacts impact our community. And so we want to make sure that our residents have a seat at the table and they are part of the narrative and what they want their community to look like.
Let's be more clear. We're talking about the South Ward of Newark. We're talking about Newark International Airport, if you will, the port, if you will. And so you've got air pollution problems, which you've got asthma problems, which you know better than most because you, your family has been personally hurt by this. What is the asthma problem and why is it part of this discussion, Kim?
Yeah, you know, raising my three children in the city of Newark, we would frequently visit Weequay Park, which is right on the corner of Freeland Heights and Avenue. And when you think about it, you're taking your children to a place where you want them to recreate and run around. And while they are in the activities of soccer, baseball, track, tennis, the emissions from the trucks are spewing in the air. And while they're playing, their lungs are open as the widest, right? And so what happens is when we think our kids are not being harmed, they are by the toxics. And so we want to make sure that we have kids' clean air zones around our parks. We want to make sure that when our children are recreating, the backyard is not the pollution of trucks driving in and out of our neighborhood.
How are you doing that, Kim? I'm so sorry for interrupting you. How are you doing it? Give us an example.
So what we would definitely want to do is make sure that the cleanest trucks are on those roads. So there's electric trucks that exist today. The technology is here. But in our communities, the dirtiest trucks are still on the road. The dirtiest buses are still on the road. And when you think about the cumulative impacts from the trucks and the buses, then that increases the asthma rates of our children, by the pollution.
And by the way, to be clear, the South Ward of Newark is disproportionately an African-American community. If people want to understand an operationalized example, a real example of institutional racism, just listen to what Kim just said. In that spirit, you and the organization won the Russ Berry Making a Difference Award. A, what does that award mean? And B, how has it helped the organization?
Well, what that award means is that people are recognizing that our community is a community that needs help, and that our story is a story that needs to be told. And so it was very important for the South Ward Environmental Alliance for individuals to recognize that there are communities, what we call frontline communities, that each and every day suffer from environmental degradation just because of the zip code we live in and the color of our skin. And by receiving the Russ Berry Award, individuals have been reaching out and they've been saying, oh my God, I didn't even know that that was a problem in your community. We thought it was only over here or over there. And we said, no, it's everywhere within our South Ward community. And so our story has been elevated. Our members have been rejuvenated, and they really feel that their voices have been heard and that we can change the situation that we suffer from now because we have other individuals willing to engage and help us change around our community.
Before I let you go, Kim, I've known of your work for a long time. Our paths have crossed. We're both Brick City, if you will, natives. Newark is. It's for those who don't appreciate or understand the Newark thing. I often say to other people, it's in your veins, it's in your blood. It's something about growing up and being a part of Newark. That being said, your passion, your deep abiding passion for this cause, 1 minute or less, comes from where?
My children. Being a mother who had to raise 3 asthmatic children, when you see one child gasping for air, you know that you are helpless. And so when I had to experience that, not once, twice, but 3 times, I knew that I had to begin to fight to change this so that not only will it make a difference for my children, but for all the children in the South Ward, the city, and the country.
That is Kim Gaddy. She's a leader. She's making a difference. And by the way, I know in post-production we'll put the website of the South Ward Environmental Alliance up so people can find out more about the work of the organization and if they want to be helpful, how they can be helpful. Kim Gaddy is also a Russ Berry Making a Difference Award honoree. Kim, you honor us by joining us on public broadcasting to share your story and the story of the people in the community of the South Ward of Newark. Thank you so much, Kim.
And thank you for having me.
You got it. I'm Steve Adubato. That's Kim Gaddy. We thank you so much for watching us, and we'll see you next time.
Think Tank with Steve Adubato has been a production of the Caucus Educational Corporation. Funding has been provided by Holy Name, the Terrell Fund, supporting Reimagine Childcare, PNC, Grow Up Great, the New Jersey Education Association, Berklee College, PSE&G, NJ Best, New Jersey's 529 College Savings Plan, Community Food Bank of New Jersey, and by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. Promotional support provided by NJ Biz and by New Jersey Globe. To see more Think Tank with Steve Adubato programs and to listen to Think Tank with Steve Adubato, the podcast, visit us online at steveadubato.org. If you would like to express an opinion, email us at info@caucusnj.org. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Steve Adubato, PhD. And follow us on Twitter at Steve Adubato.